When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Forever!
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to Literati, a podcast about books and the idiots who write them. We're your hosts, Michael Wolff.
That's me.
And Colin O'Brien.
That's him. And we are overjoyed to be here with you, our dear, dear listeners. You know, it's always been a dream of ours to host a literary podcast. Ever since we were little, teeny tiny boys, we wanted to host a podcast.
It's true. You know, I remember being 4 years old and my mother asking me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I'd say, I want to be a podcast host. And my mother was like, what the fuck are you talking about? What the hell is a podcast? It's 1987. Podcasts aren't a thing. I don't know if they'll ever be a thing. I can't see into the future. You know what? Just play with your toys. Mommy needs a third glass of wine.
But look at you now. And look at me now. I guess we both proved your drunk mother wrong.
We certainly did. But achieving your dreams isn't just about proving the people who never believed in you wrong.
Although that is a pretty big part of it for me.
Yes, the satisfaction that comes with proving your haters wrong is a big part of following your dreams.
But it's also important to have dreams and goals of your own to give you something to work towards, something to keep you motivated, to keep you hungry.
That's right. And just like the title of Sebastian Maniscalco's new book instructs you to do, stay hungry.
Oh, Italian-American comedian Sebastian Maniscalco?
That's the one.
I love it. And like the hit song by 80s new wave band Duran Duran, you must be hungry like the wolf.
And like those hippos from that board game, we must constantly be hungry, hungry.
Yes, and you must also be like Colin and I, who haven't eaten in 6 hours. Hungry.
Very hungry. So we wanted to share our goals, our hopes and dreams with you, the listeners, so that you can be inspired to set goals and achieve them.
Think of this segment like a Burger King commercial, making you hungry. But instead of making you hungry for hemmed burgers and frigid fried potatoes, we will make you hungry for making your own dreams come true.
Now, we know you listen to us, and you probably think we have it all.
Oh, boy. Close.
A podcast listened to by dozen of people. But you can't rest on your laurels. You have to keep reaching for the stars, Literati Nation.
You know, I just got informed it's Literati Semi-State.
Literati Semi-State. Keep reaching for those stars.
Keep striving for more.
Keep bettering yourselves.
And so, we present to you now,
Colin and Michael's goals and aspirations.
Right off the bat, number one, we have a shared goal to become published authors.
We both want this one.
Yeah.
Colin said it was his goal, and I said, not so fast. That's also my goal.
Yeah, this one's a given. Of course we want that.
And, you know, we've written tons and tons of books, but you're not really an author until someone transcribes the writing you've done with your own blood on your bathroom walls and turns it into an ink and paper book.
Those are just the rules.
I have a goal to move to Tibet for a year and write a novel.
I have a goal to move to Portland, Oregon for about 3 months and write a zine.
That's a good one. I like it because it seems very achievable.
Yeah.
That being said, zines can be long, 7-8 pages.
I'm going to have to cut it down, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, too long. Maybe more of a brochure.
Yeah.
I want to get a paper cut from the oldest book in America.
I want to deadlift the heaviest book on earth.
Do you do CrossFit?
I don't. No.
Okay, well, you know
what?
Well,
they can't see me, right?
No, they can't see you.
So, yes.
Okay.
And that's why I'm so strong.
That explains the muscles.
Yep.
I want to design the world's thickest bookmark. Thicker than any book that could hold it.
I want to rip out a page from the Book of Kells and roll a big fat doobie with it.
Is that a famous book?
It is.
It's like an old Irish book?
Yeah, it's at Trinity College in Dublin. And
oh.
I think it's famous for being old.
In addition to that, I also want to be the first person to finally crack the Da Vinci Code.
I want to be the first person to read the Da Vinci Code all the way through.
No one's done it.
Not
yet. A lot of people have started it. I want to learn the difference between a colon and a semicolon.
I want to learn the difference between a colon and the large intestine.
And just, again, to refresh the listeners, these are goals and aspirations that Colin and I have in our writing careers. I want to find my pen. It was a nice one, one of those fountain tip pens. I lost it like 6 years ago, and I will never stop looking for it.
I want to learn how to use this fancy fountain pen that I found in Michael's desk.
I can't figure it out. I want to ask you questions about that. Do we have time for me to ask
you? No, you really got to keep it moving.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. I want to be the first person to read The Little Prince in space. And while I'm up there, I also have a goal to eat a teeny tiny piece of the moon.
Oh, I like that one.
Mm. Just seems like it would have a good crunch to it.
You might as well. You're already up there.
If I'm going up there, that's the time to do it.
You're
going to
regret it if you don't eat
two
a teeny tiny
with
piece
one
of the
stone.
Moon. I want to prove that the pen is mightier than the sword. By having a fight to the death with my neighbor Craig, who sucks, by the way, using only Bic ballpoint pens as our weapons. Last man standing gets to be president of the apartment board of directors.
Wow, it sounds like there's a whole backstory between you and Craig.
Yeah, I'll get into it in a later podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, I've definitely, a lot of the books I've written have addressed that. There's a backstory there.
Critiques you've been getting from the publishing houses is like, Colin, the story here is amazing, but you keep adding chapter after chapter, detouring into how much you hate
None
Craig.
None of us know who Craig is.
And I want to finally get a library card. I've heard a lot of good things about libraries, and I think it's time that I check one out.
I want to start a book club, but instead of discussing books we've read, we smoke opium and pass out on mattresses scattered about the floor.
Colin, I think what you're describing is an opium den.
Opium den. Yes, that's it. I want to start an opium den.
And finally, we want to work up the nerve to call our moms and say, "See? We did it. We became something. Now pour us some of that wine."
Give me some wine, Mom.
There you have it. We hope that hearing about our literary goals and aspirations will inspire you, our fellow readers and writers. But now we'd like to introduce our guest for this episode.
Yes, and Michael, while you do that, I am going to order some food on Seamless. I'm seriously so fucking hungry right now. All that talk about staying hungry did not help.
No, that actually made my appetite even worse. I am really starting to think that we should at least bring in some almonds, if nothing else, to the studio.
Absolutely.
Plus, you know, eating lunch has been a goal of mine ever since breakfast.
That's another dream achieved, I guess.
Anyway, on to our guest for today.
Yes.
We are so excited to have her with us today. She has been writing in a pretty exciting genre.
Yeah.
A genre of book that you have probably heard of and seen in bookshelves everywhere. You know, the books with the titles like The Astronaut's Wife or The Time Traveler's Wife.
Yeah, in the TV world, there's The Good Wife.
Of course.
Yeah.
And this new book of hers follows in this rich tradition.
And
I'm so excited to
hear about
it. It's
probably going to be just as successful as these other ones.
No
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah.
The book is called The Horse's Wife, and our author is here with us, Diana Lincoln Gorbin Green O'Connell.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me,
Oh,
boys.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, we are honored.
The wife community, as you know, we're thriving.
Oh,
we're here, we say. Here we are.
It's so cool.
Define us by our husbands.
Exactly. The first thing that you get about this character is the profession of the person they're married to. And I think that's so bold.
Mm-hmm. It's the most important thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there a more important job than being the wife of the profession?
I think the only thing I would say is to be a mother, I think is the most important job.
Well, to be a mother.
Ooh.
You're probably a wife.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
You got me.
And, you know, I mean, not to pitch out new book ideas before we've even heard the excerpt for this one, but The Mother's Husband.
Oh, wow. My gears are turning.
No, we defer
to you, Diana Lincoln Gorbin Green O'Connell.
In a way, disrespectful to women.
Okay.
Okay.
It's about the wife.
You're right. We should step back. And in the nature of stepping back, we will now step back and set the stage for you and your reading.
Thank you so much. This is chapter 10 of my newest one, The Horse's Wife. I woke with a start. The room was empty. I could see the flies lazily buzzing against the dusty, hazy sunlight, seemingly as weighed down by the oppressive heat as the rest of us. I glanced over to our specially made oversized door. It was ajar. The fly mask was hanging on the hook. Jeremiah hadn't gotten here yet. I tried to fight down my disappointment that was trying to push its way through my relief. I put on my dressing robe over my cotton nightdress and picked my way across the massive dumps of my husband on the dirt floor of our humble but warm home. I held my hand up to shield my eyes from the bright mid-August Virginia sky. Chester was in the field, his tail moving back and forth. I watched my husband for a moment and then went to him. "Good morning, darling," he said. "Have you had breakfast? I'll make you some." I went over to the barn and got a bucket. As I washed it at the water pump, my mind wandered. It suddenly dawned on me that it had been exactly 1 year since my ma and pa had arranged my marriage. Charlotte had disgraced the family by becoming with child out of wedlock and running off with a clever, tall, rich, handsome Ernest Smithson, and my parents saw only one way out of social exile. No one wanted to do business with the kin of Charlotte, who now lived in a mansion in the big city. I remember hearing the whispers from the other room when I was but a girl with ribbons in my hair. Chester Clydesdale, the best horse in town, needed a wife. Everyone respected him. He was one of the first horses to be a pony in the Pony Express. But he was so much older than me, and he kept so to himself. "Annabella's of marrying age. This will be a fine match," I heard my father say. I had to say something. I burst into the room. "Papa, you can't mean it. What about my plans to become a school teacher and help the children learn about the new invention that is triangles?" "It's the only way to save the family's reputation. Don't be selfish. It must be done." I looked at my mother. "My dear, I am sorry," she said, her voice wavering, "but it's best for everyone." We married a week later at a small ceremony on the farm. I wore my mother's wedding dress and had to feed him carrots throughout to keep him from trying to eat my veil. He wore a bow tie on his bridle. I kissed his velvety nose to seal the start of our new lives as one. My mind returns to the bucket and to the water running over my hands and turning the dirt to mud. I take the well-worn bucket and fill it with oats and apple slices. "Here you are, my love." He stomps his hoof and begins to eat. I go to dress before his stable boy arrives for the day. So much had changed in this 1 year. At first, I was intimidated by my new husband. He is very large and very serious. But we warmed to each other. I brushed him and scratched behind his ears. He gave me rides to town to do the shopping for fabrics and such. He slept in our cabin, but spent much of his time in his office, where the hay and the water trough are. We've settled into a peaceful, respectful routine. But I know I haven't been the perfect wife. I've engaged in betrayal. I, too, would disgrace my family more than ever if my transgressions were revealed. I haven't been faithful to my strong horse husband, despite his ability to pull a cart of bricks to the swelling cheers of the town. Though I love him in some way, I must admit, I have never been able to love him in the way a woman is supposed to love her husband. I am a sinner for that, and I have tried to reconcile with my destiny in hell. When I first laid eyes on Jeremiah, newly arrived and hired to be Chester's head stable boy, my heart galloped, much like Chester when the mayor asks him to lead the May Day parade. Jeremiah walked on two legs and had no tail, but he was beautiful with sandy hair and strong arms that ended in hands, not hooves. I tried to stay away for weeks, but he was persistent. I think back to that first night when I was weak and I met him in my husband's own office of all places. The deceit sends shivers down my spine. I slipped out of the house by the light of the moon while my unknowing husband slept standing up, knee joints locked. I wanted to stop. The risk was so high, the betrayal so dastardly. But I couldn't. I love him. I love the stable boy, and he loves me. We've hatched a plan to run away, on foot, with no horses. I despair that I ended up like my sister, but there's no going back now. I can feel it inside me. I must tell Jeremiah today. I am with child, and imagine if I stayed. The news rapidly spreading through town like wildfire, starting as a whisper, ending in a mob. The horse's wife, she's given birth to a human baby. And that's the chapter.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
And what a chapter it was.
A twist.
I know.
There is so much in there to unpack.
I know.
And I just have to say, it's so exciting hearing a book from this perspective. I'm not 100% clear on who they were horses.
No, the wife is not a horse.
The wife is not a horse. Great.
Yes.
So
that answers my first question.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
the
they were
wife, as always, human.
It
so
has
human.
To be. And I like that because I don't think a horse could write a book.
I don't think so. They couldn't hold the pencil. They couldn't type. We've been taught
it
in secretarial school.
It would be too much of a stretch of the imagination to believe that a horse could write a book.
I would never buy that.
A woman marrying a horse. Okay, I can get on board.
To save her family's reputation.
Fiction. Yeah,
a universal theme.
It's simply a matter of dignity.
Which is very honorable.
And you went to secretarial school as well?
Of course.
How many years were you there? Because I was 18 years I was there.
I was in school for 1 year. And I was a secretary for 6 months before I met my first husband.
Oh my, that's incredible.
Yes.
I can't believe you went through school that fast. It took me quite a long time.
I'm very good at typing. I've written all these books.
That's so impressive.
I'm very good at it.
So secretarial school is school for secretaries?
Yes, okay. You become a secretary to meet your husband.
Of course. I was confused. I meant to go to secretariat school.
Which would make sense for the horses.
It's about the horse. I was trying to study it and sort of get my background together.
That's actually a 25-year program.
It's so a 25. So
you should have known something was wrong when you got out in 18.
I really should have known.
But you were celebrating too. You were so proud of yourself that you finished early.
I thought I was very smart. Turns out I was incredibly slow at what I was doing. That was the first 16 years I was. That's why I was so confused at typing, because I kept raising my hand and asking questions about the horses.
You thought that you were learning how to type for when you started learning about secretariat.
To be honest, I mostly was dropping little bits of trail mix into the keyboard, and I was just trying to get it back out. That's what the first 3 years of school were for me.
Was there any part of the secretariat school where, like a residency, like you might do for a...
I did live in a field. Okay. Is that sort of what you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, I was
field
placed
or a stable.
I was placed in a field, and my job was just to stay there.
Yes.
And I did that very well.
And stand for hours at a time.
For hours at a time. I can lock my knees, much like the horses in your books.
Yes, much like the husband.
Yes, but unfortunately, I cannot eat grass. I found that out the hard way.
And that's why you couldn't graduate.
That's why I couldn't graduate. Yes. Oh, by the way, 18 years, I didn't finish. I just left. So, but you left after a year and you found your husband. That's very exciting.
Yes, my first husband.
Dare I ask, what kind of wife did that make you?
I was a perfect wife.
Oh, the perfect wife.
I was a perfect wife, much like my first book, The Perfect Wife.
Autobiographical?
Yes. I love being a wife. It's my passion. I've been married 8 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it get easier with time? Or better?
It doesn't get easier because, unfortunately, they've all died.
Oh, that's
a
shame.
Each one of your husbands has died?
Each one of them.
Colin and I would just like to take a second to say condolences.
Died. Thank you so much.
We're so sorry. And now, did all 8 of them die? Or is the 8th one the current one? Is that...
I'm currently on the search.
Okay.
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 That's to shout out to the literati semi-state. I don't know what finding a husband.
For
but...
the plot of my next book. You
okay.
know,
okay.
If you have an interesting profession, an interesting quality.
The plumber's wife.
Reach
I could
out.
See that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The anthropologist's wife.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, so aren't you yourself, though? You are an author. So your husband could be... the author's husband?
No.
Is, we're falling into the same trap as the mother's husband from before.
Because I'm focusing on the wrong character.
You're focusing on the wrong. That is disrespectful to me. That's disrespectful to wives.
I'm so sorry.
Please.
I'm so sorry. I'm still learning a lot of this stuff.
Wife community?
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's going to apologize. You can stand back.
I do. I apologize. I take it all back. My words came out. They came from a place of ignorance. And I would like to say I have nothing but the utmost respect. Some of my my mother is a wife.
And my sister is a wife.
You know wives.
I know wives.
We know wives. Yeah.
That's the only way that I can really respect a woman is through the experience of one that I'm related to.
Yes.
And that's how I get their humanity. Now, I would love to hear very quickly how all eight of your husbands died one by one.
Oh, my. Okay. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number one was a nurse.
Oh.
Number one was a nurse. And one night after I had finished my manuscript, can you imagine? Right after I'd finished my manuscript for the nurse's wife.
Yeah.
Subverts expectations. You see, progressive for its time.
Yeah, very much so. And you must be at the end of finishing that book. You must be like, oh, I'm ready to celebrate. I want to, you know, see where my husband's at.
Yes. His throat had been slit with a scalpel.
Oh, my God. That is
how terrible for you.
And really, you know, brutal.
It wasn't sterilized, and that's what got him.
Oh, so he survived.
He might have been saved.
He survived the tetanus? Throat slashing.
Someone had touched it,
ooh,
and they had not washed their hands up to the wrist.
Yeah. You got to go up
they
to the
only,
wrist.
They had only normal washed their
now,
hands.
Mm-hmm. You got to go all the way up. I go up to the elbow.
Now, I know you're going to tell us how all of your husbands have died, but a quick question. Did their deaths coincide with when your manuscripts
Can you
were
believe
finished?
It? That, yes.
It's like they're stealing your focus, like stealing focus from you. Like you
taking
have
the thunder.
Big, yeah, here, taking the thunder.
It came with a gift.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
When I get to have a lot of experiences.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
As a wife, yeah. I get to have all the experiences I want.
Yeah.
And I never have to be an ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's shameful.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
You are a widow 8 times over.
I am.
There's something so noble about having a loved one die.
Yeah.
And so ignoble about being able to mutually acknowledge that a relationship isn't working.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful.
I don't even want
to
think about
it. To go in front of all your loved ones at a church or synagogue or even a city hall building and to say, I love you forever. It means to stay with that person and force them to love you whether or not your feelings change. And that means sticking with that person, even if you grow to hate them, you've got to force them to be with you. And because you said one time 50 years ago, we love each other, that can't change.
Too many witnesses.
Yeah,
too many
exactly.
witnesses.
I love institutions.
Oh, me too. True story, my aunt, I once come from a Irish Catholic family, my aunt.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But my aunt said regarding her husband that she was like, I would never get a divorce. I would kill him, though. So,
yeah,
I think that's, that's the mental state some people are in. You
but
know?
Of course, that has nothing to do with Diana's situation.
No,
So
I will say that I would respect a murderer more than a divorcee, I think.
Of course.
Yeah. But that is not the case. We're talking about not here.
No.
Did you find the person who gave your husband germs through his neck slit?
No.
No. So
he was never found.
The criminal is still at large.
I just want to take this moment to say public service announcement. When you wash your hands, go up to the elbow,
fill up the sink, dunk your arms in there. If it's good enough for doctors, it's good enough for me.
Absolutely. Exactly. And then it should be good enough for nurses who are just, I think, young doctors.
Yes.
They're children doctors.
They're the ponies that become into horses.
And speaking of ponies and horses, Chester Clydesdale. I want to hear a little bit more about this fella. How did you come up with a character like that?
Chester Clydesdale is, in a way, he's the ideal man that many of us find at the end of the day we don't want the ideal man.
Mm. Okay, that's confusing.
Sometimes the strength and the respect and the soberness, it's intimidating. It's too much.
The stateliness of pure masculinity.
Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we stray.
Yeah, of course.
Very human.
Of course, I get that.
Experience.
There's something about men. Ugh, so good. I don't know. Is it their smell? Is it just the way that they refuse to introspect? I don't know what
it is.
There's
just something so good about men.
The way they cross their arms.
Oh yeah, and the way they spread their legs.
Stunning.
The way they talk over everybody. I love it. I love it. So Chester Clydesdale, was that based off of a person in your life?
Or a horse.
Or a horse in your life.
I think it's, you know, it's a little bit of all my husbands, as all my tales are. I think that one might be most based off of my second husband.
Okay.
Who I wrote about in my book, The Doctor's Wife.
Oh, okay. The Doctor's Wife.
So the first book was The Nurse's Wife.
Yes.
The second book was The Doctor's Wife.
Were they in a series?
No.
No. Okay. No. Totally. So you could read The Doctor's Wife
very
first.
Very different.
Okay. Gotcha.
I met my next husband, the doctor, at the nurse's funeral.
Okay. That makes sense.
We couldn't help it. We fell in love.
Oh, I love a good romance story.
You know, and also like turning tragedy into something beautiful.
Something so beautiful. You know,
the soil from which a flower
lining.
Playbook.
Yes.
Yeah.
A silver lining, much like the silver of the scalpel that also killed my doctor husband. This one?
Scalpel again.
This one, it was clean.
Okay, so the scalpel this time did.
This time they did it the right way.
They as if they'd almost learned from.
Hey, I don't know if it was the same person.
Right, that's true.
We don't know.
And so now this this person who killed the doctor husband of yours, are they still at large or they were caught?
Oh, they must have been caught.
They were not caught.
Not caught. Wow. Are the police not doing their jobs?
Devastating, but they were not caught.
Oh,
I am so sorry for you.
They are still running around.
Now, who found the corpse of your doctor husband? And I really don't want to. I hope it's not what I think.
It was me.
Oh, that sucks.
It was me.
That sucks so bad.
In the dead of night, I went to go pick him up from the supply closet where he said he was. And then I screamed. I said, oh, and he's dead.
Men in their supply closets.
He's dead.
Men are always spending time in supply closets.
You scream just like that.
He said, oh, I'm getting gloves. Come pick me up in the closet. And there he was. Devastating. I was devastated.
How horrifying for you.
Thank you.
See two husbands die.
Two?
What a shame. And then you've got to say, what do I do with this body? Well, it's already in the closet.
It's already in the, you know, I said, help, help.
Yeah, right.
Please. They have gurneys there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's a hospital. Actually, that's one of the better places to get your throat slit.
Yeah.
You know, another silver lining.
Right,
yeah.
If it's not going to be at Cirque du Soleil,
pretty
it might
easy.
As well be at a hospital.
Pretty easy disposal.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, at least, yes, again, silver lining. Now, how, if I could ask you, Diana, how are you doing?
You know, every husband has helped me heal a little bit.
Okay.
After that, you know, I met this train conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can read The Train Conductor's Wife
to hear about how
that works, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that lasted about 2 years.
Right.
Finished my manuscript. Yeah. This one got published.
Oh, congratulations.
Before, you know.
Oh no,
don't say it. Don't say.
He got shoveled into
somebody pushed him in front of a train.
Oh, that stinks so bad.
And you know the worst part?
What?
We don't know who.
Oh, come on. We don't
know who did it.
Wait, they don't put cameras on trains anymore?
You would think.
Put it right on the front.
Busy train station.
If nothing else, that would be fun to watch the footage back
later. This monster. They must have known someone with inside information. They knew the blind spot.
Right.
And they just pushed him.
Like just a part of the track where they don't have cameras
on? They just pushed him.
I've heard of murder on the Orient Express, but murder on some other train?
Murder by the Orient Express?
Oh my God. The train did it the whole time?
The train did it.
Diana, that's awful.
Where in the world do you hail from?
We forget to ask our authors, where in the world do you hail from?
I am centered in Milwaukee.
Okay. Milwaukee Police Department. Get it together.
Do your job.
If you did a little less Dunkin' Donuts and a little bit more checking your notes.
Yeah. Three husbands murdered.
And where were you during this unfortunate incident?
I was home alone.
Oh, that checks
out. I was just home by myself.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Reading a book. My dear friend Sue,
mm-hmm.
her book.
Sue Grafton?
Yes.
Oh, what a great author.
I was home alone.
Yeah.
With our dogs,
mm.
our cat.
Okay. So that's enough people to kind of be an alibi.
They can right. vouch for you, yeah.
yeah.
This
yeah.
book,
who
I
would
was
leave
reading
dogs
it.
And cats alone?
No. Yeah.
And if you were home reading the book, then you'd remember what the book's about.
Of course. I 20 pages went by.
Oh, my God.
The bookmark was one place, then it was the other.
Okay. What more proof do you need, yeah. Milwaukee police?
I said, sir, yesterday it was here.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's here. This morning I was grocery shopping. When else would I have had the time to move the bookmark? To read these 25 pages.
You don't just, only that a psychopath out. Would move the bookmark if they hadn't read those pages.
Yeah.
That's truly
disturbing.
You would
disturbed. Lose your place.
You know, I don't know if you heard in the intro, but I am working on developing the world's thickest bookmark.
Mm.
Would you buy something like that?
Hmm.
It's very,
well,
very
well,
thick.
Describe it. Let's, yeah, let's,
please.
Like,
okay.
let's
can you,
okay.
can you tell
pitch.
If it's been moved?
Oh, yeah. You can tell.
Okay.
So you know how most bookmarks are thin, like a piece of paper?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like a brick.
Ah.
You will need to remove some of the pages from the book to make room for
the book pretty much ends up lying open flat, and then you just kind of put the brick on top of it and it holds your place down. So you can't really, it's harder. It is harder. I'll admit it. I'll be the first to admit it. It is harder to move the book from place to place or put it in your back pocket, but it is much easier to know where your page
is. If we respected books as they were meant to be respected, we wouldn't be moving them anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yes, books should stay, much like children should stay where they are.
Yes.
So I wanted to talk for a second. Now, I obviously, condolences again on this third dead husband.
So thank sorry you. To hear about.
I wanted to know a little bit about your writing process.
Yes.
Obviously, you do pull a lot from your husband's professions.
I do. I'm finding constant inspiration.
When you sit down
to
write.
Authors pull inspiration from their own lives. There's nothing unusual about
right.
that.
Right. Colin is often inspired by the Animorphs book series.
Yeah. I pull from my own life. I love those damn Animorphs. And then I write, I call them cartoonomorphs. It's a totally original.
It's very different.
Or, yeah. And I have gotten cease and desist.
So have
I,
you?
I have.
You never give up.
I never
no.
give up.
You
I just,
never
these
give
are
up.
Trained fans who ask him to stop writing because they don't like the books.
Yeah.
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 And I'm inspired by the news. I read the news and
course.
I let that kind
great.
Of just spark my mind and see where that could go.
Sometimes I look at the news.
Mm.
Sometimes it says wife of, you know, wins mm-hmm. award.
Right. Mike Pence's wife.
And I go, good for her.
She did it out there.
We're
winning
doing
awards.
It.
Oh, it's so great to see women being married to men. I love that.
Yeah.
And yeah.
still achieving things.
Yeah, still going yeah. out there now. And my book series, obviously, is called The Weather. And it's largely inspired by what I've read in the newspaper.
Oh, that's the part of the news that's where you draw your inspiration
only part
from?
I can focus on.
Okay.
The other stuff makes me sad and or is confusing.
Mm.
But so for your writing process,
yes.
when you sit down, take us through a day of writing for Diana Lincoln Gorbin Green O'Connell.
Mm. Okay.
Now, are,
oh,
are
yeah.
these all your...
This makes
middle
sense.
Names, or are these some of the...
These are some of my husband's names,
okay.
not all of them. I
yeah.
pick and choose. Sometimes I switch them out,
ones
rotate them around.
If you had 8 last names, that'd be ridiculous. I think a nice 4, that rolls
it's
off the tongue.
It's like going into a closet, saying, what am I going to wear today?
Mm.
You know, you pick some shoes, you yeah. pick a top, you pick a skirt.
And what did Coco Chanel say? She said, before you leave the house, take off one thing.
Yes, I started with 5 last names.
Okay, got it.
Okay,
and you ditch one.
And I end
one.
Up with 4.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, it'll be different.
That's so, every day you should address yourself accordingly.
Yes.
My middle initial is J, and sometimes it stands for John, sometimes it stands for Jebediah, sometimes it stands for Jesus. It just sort of depends on the mood I'm in and who I'm trying to impress or coerce.
Michael Jesus Wolf.
I think it's got a really good ring to it. And I'd love it if you guys would come to the warehouse where I preach on Sundays. It's very expensive. But Diana Lincoln, Gorbin Green O'Connell, you sit down to write. What happens?
I sit down in the den.
Mm-hmm.
I sit down in the den.
Mm.
All of my husband's just photographs looking over me. I sit down and I say, what is a profession?
Mm-hmm.
What's a job?
Mm.
And then I say... God, what would it be like if in the morning your husband left for that job?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then at night he came back from that job?
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's very interesting.
What would that be like? And I just try to put myself in that woman's shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as I've said, I try to have as many experiences as possible so that I can speak true to life. I can really get in those characters' shoes.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing a disservice or disrespecting someone who has had those experiences.
Right.
You want to live them yourself. You
want
to know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I think if you're going to write about something, you should have had to live it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, I not that it should matter, but I do wonder what your husbands, when they were alive, mm-hmm. Felt about you sitting to write under the photographs of all your other dead husbands that came before them. Did they ever bring it up?
They're not allowed in the den.
That's fair.
Hey, that's fair.
They
a
are
room
not,
of one's own.
Yeah.
And if they go in the den, you know, I just say, honey, please don't.
Okay.
Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it.
For a second.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you said when they go in the den,
if
you sort of clenched your
face. If they go in the den. Okay. I just say, please, that's my space. Okay. I need it.
And that's it. Because your eyes did roll in the back of your head
I say, darling, my sweet.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
I need this to do my art.
Okay.
Please.
And that's fair.
Honey, let me make you some dinner.
You're clutching that letter opener very tightly right now, and you're making scratches in the table.
They're just, you know, they're not supposed to go in the den.
Yeah.
That's why
it's
locked.
We shouldn't. I mean, it's also,
that's
it was
why
rude.
It's locked?
It's yeah. Why it's locked. It was
it
rude
was only
of us
a problem when I was married to the locksmith.
Yeah. Okay,
that's when it became, and I said, honey, please don't go in the den. Please don't go in the den. And he said, oh, okay.
Oh, that's great.
And then I felt so terrible that we had fought.
Right.
Yeah.
Right before he passed.
Oh no.
Yeah.
How soon after the fight?
The next day.
Oh.
I felt awful.
You know, they say don't go to bed angry, but I think even more than that is don't die angry.
My biggest regret.
Oh, that's such a shame, Diana.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear
that.
Did you get to, you didn't get any closure with him before the fight?
And you get to reconcile?
One night, the next day, river.
Oh, in a river.
The next day.
What an undignified way to die.
Just a bunch of keys in his pocket.
Oh, bloated and with a bunch of keys in his pocket.
I couldn't help but feel that it was because of our fight. And that
you
haunts
can't,
me.
You cannot blame yourself.
It haunts
you
me.
You cannot. You're gonna
clearly, this locksmith was very sick in the head.
And you can't, I mean, you can't keep all those keys in your pocket if you're going swimming.
You're an artist.
I can't help it.
You can't carry this burden with you through the rest of your life. That's not fair to yourself. You got to let it go.
I wish I could believe you.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That is so tragic.
It really is.
Now, hopefully the police finally found the person who did this.
No.
Ah, come on.
Now I'm getting kind of ticked
now
off.
Now I'm getting real
I'm actually
mad.
I'm getting ticked off.
Yeah, I have a good mind to call
inept.
The Milwaukee.
They inept.
What?
They're inept.
Yeah, somebody should take their badges and poke them with them.
Yes.
Yeah. Poke them with their own badge.
Get them out of Milwaukee.
Get them
Milwaukee's finest? No.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's worst.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Milwaukee.
That's what I say.
Milwaukee away.
Yeah.
Milwaukee talkie. To your chief and tell him you suck.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Walk.
Talk
the
talk.
We'll talk the talk.
You stink.
We're going to,
you stink.
I'm too mad to think of a good zinger for
I'm
these.
I'm so mad.
Thank you.
And Colin only has room for one emotion in his brain. The doctor said it's really, it's one at a time in there.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it being anger right now because I am so angry.
Yeah,
I'm
understandably.
So angry.
Yeah, so just give me.
Will I ever find peace?
I don't know. What? So just give me a second to switch emotional gears. Okay, I'm back. Okay,
it's like a room that can only fit one person, and there's an indoor and an outdoor, and there's a whole line of emotions. So when one comes in, the other has to come out.
That seems tough. What would you call that? What would you call yourself with that?
I emotionally restricted? No. What would
stunted?
Yeah, emotionally stunted.
Mm. I'd say simple Colin.
That's interesting. Are you married?
I am not married.
I
uh I believe we've established this on the podcast.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, that you've never even had sex.
Yeah, that I'm a virgin.
Why did we establish that?
I don't remember.
But it's canon.
I mean, it's true. We've established it, and so this is part of my character now, and so...
part of the character, like your personality.
My personality,
character.
Yes.
Now, Colin, yeah. Didn't you recently... you've been going out for a lot of jobs recently.
I have.
Have you heard back from any? I know you put in your application at Sweetgreen to be a salad tosser. You were going to work at a bowling alley. You were going to be a pin resetter. There were like 6 or 7 other really interesting jobs. Yeah. Did any of them come through?
No. I think, you know what they said the problem was?
What?
That I was applying for very specific positions, yes, that I seem to have made up.
Oh,
that I just assumed,
okay,
they had.
You kind of were pitching them your ideal position.
I thought it was sort of like working on an assembly line where you just do one thing at,
sure,
each of these places. And,
sure,
so I was saying, I want to be a solid tosser.
Yeah, yep.
Salad tosser.
You want to check
Sweetgreen
the bowling ball's holes to, yep, make sure there aren't bugs in,
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be the guy who polished the coffee beans at Starbucks.
You want to be the person to switch out the spring jackets on books at bookstores,
mm-hmm,
for winter coats.
Exactly.
But none of these? So unemployed man.
I am also unemployed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't have a lot going for me right now.
But you are a podcaster.
I am a podcaster. Mm. So I guess I have it all.
Hmm. I mean, no one's ever done the virgin simpleton podcaster's wife before. It's an idea.
Not that I know of. No.
I don't think anyone's done it.
Am I witnessing a meet cute?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Too early to tell. We try to keep romance out of the podcast, but hey, I am easy to step away and let sparks fly.
I'm going to talk to Sue, see what she thinks.
Oh, yeah. You gotta ask Ms. Grafton.
I hope, I mean, I would be honored. And I'm going to just be very careful and check the locks at night, make sure no murderers get in.
Yes.
Don't go in that den.
Milwaukee is so dangerous.
I know.
Clearly.
Yeah. A hotbed of crime.
So, but Diana, of course, before this, The Horse's Wife is your most recent book,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you always write about the experiences of your husbands,
yes,
for that book. So talk us through the origin of the idea for The Horse's Wife.
I met this horse.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
I met a horse, a Clydesdale, of course.
Beautiful. A beautiful breed.
Beautiful. His name was Chester.
Okay. The perfect
horse.
You
know, I said, hey, can't beat perfection.
Right.
Sometimes truth is better than fiction.
Yes.
And he was a beautiful horse. Beautiful, stoic. Just cold enough to pique my interest.
Oh.
And they said, you can't marry this horse.
Who
said
that?
It's illegal. You can't marry. Milwaukee said this.
Oh, okay. This is when the law steps in. This is when the law decides to step in.
And you know, I just can't leave because I cannot bring my beautiful pet bird across state lines.
Okay.
Because it is an exotic variety.
Of course.
And I'm stuck in this terrible place. They said, you cannot marry this horse. And I said, please, it's for literature. And they said, you can't. And so I just had to imagine, what if?
And also, you know, you say it's for literature. They don't care. You know,
these heathens.
Why do people not care about the arts? We're defunding art programs.
It would be like telling J.K. Rowling she can't write on napkins at the coffee shop where she famously came up with the idea for Harry Potter.
She tried to marry a goblin.
She did.
And they said no. And so she said, what if?
She said, what if? Yeah, they were like, no, you can't. That doesn't exist.
And
one of the most
successful franchises in human history was born.
The Goblin's Wife. Her less famous, but still very impactful book series, which I've read every one of. And I love it.
I know you weren't allowed to actually marry this horse, but I have to ask, is the horse still with us?
He is.
Oh,
okay.
Thank God.
Woo!
Okay.
He is still with us. I am not allowed to see him.
Just because you tried to marry?
They said, hey, stop trying to marry our horse.
Nobody owns a horse.
They said, every time we look away, you're trying to exchange rings with this horse.
And
they won't let me see him anymore.
Own a horse. I mean, yeah, does someone own the sun? Do I have to check in every time I want to get a suntan?
This while I was still getting over my eighth husband.
While
I was still mourning and just looking for some comfort in this cold world.
Who was the eighth husband?
So you might have heard of my, you know, one of my recent books.
Sure.
It's called The Giant's Wife.
Yes.
And
yes, that was a very, very popular book.
That one was very, very popular. Oprah's book club.
Yeah.
She loved it.
Oh, did you get to meet her?
No.
Oh, I've heard the best things.
I didn't. She said, I got an email that said, you've been chosen. But I did not get to meet her, and I actually did never see one of the copies with the
little sticker on it. Yeah, I can make you one of those.
But I got the email.
Okay, that's all you need.
So this is when I was married to a man who was 6'5". And with this one, I really used my imagination, and I transported us back to 1562. When 6'5 was so tall.
Oh, back then 6'5 was like 6'9.
It was so tall. Everyone so short.
That's incredible.
Yes. And so I imagine, what would it be like to be this man's wife when everyone was 4 feet tall? It would have been something, let me tell you.
Because I was gonna say, this seems, I mean, at least in regards to you are placing this story in a different time period,
yes,
this seems like a departure from your normal wife's books. But also,
this was more historical
fiction.
Right. I mean, as is the horse's wife. I love historical fiction.
Well, I was also going to say,
no DNA testing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to deal with all these pesky things like fingerprints and.
Yeah, and also I was going to say that
I wouldn't have had to be so mad at the cops for not being able to figure it out.
Exactly.
With all these tools at their disposal.
Yes.
But also, a giant, this seems like it might be the first one that wasn't the husband's profession.
True.
But now that you're saying that it takes place in 1542, I mean,
maybe giant was the
job.
Well,
maybe that could have been the
attraction.
This
was a little more of like a fantasy. So in this novel, of course, you've read it, you know.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
You've read it multiple times. You told me before.
Multiple.
As the tallest man anyone has ever met, as this giant, they all say, ha, 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 giant. But then the king enlists him to get things and to hang things that are high up.
The tapestries.
And so as the wife, you know, just like near the court, not quite in it all the way.
Right.
The Giant's Wife.
Wow.
If you will.
And so this also took place in England or some other place, or
Spain.
Yeah.
Spain?
Yes. Okay. Famously, I remember, because they kept having Spanish omelets for breakfast.
Yes.
I loved that detail.
Yes.
What I really enjoyed in reading your oeuvre was seeing how your writing changed. And it went from kind of a very like, here's my, the first one was an autobiography, and it became more and more and more imaginative.
Yeah.
So where do you see the future of writing for you? Where do you go next? The woman who's written it all and married it all.
You know, this is big.
Uh-oh.
I've been thinking my next book might be about the daughter.
Oh. Oh my goodness.
Father with a profession?
Hat maker's daughter.
Oh. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
The daughter of a prominent
milliner. Yes.
And how does that work?
Oh, gosh.
How does that work out for her?
It's not the same. It's not the same as a wife.
You know, the world is changing, and I'm trying to change with it.
Right. Daughters are women, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And daughters.
Everyone's met a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met daughters?
Not myself, but I have friends who have.
You've heard, you know someone who knows a daughter.
Yes, yes, definitely. Okay. And I think one of my aunts is a daughter. But it's not quite the same.
Only one of your aunts is a daughter, right?
Yeah. Yes, she is. But we don't speak anymore.
Now,
daughters can be tough.
Now, is this also going to be one of your books where you are putting yourself in the place of someone else? Are you drawing from any experiences you've had as a daughter?
So I've been seeing a hat maker.
Mm. Okay.
And I am just going to stretch myself.
Yeah.
And my brain and try to imagine, oh, the experiences I'm having.
Mm.
What if it was the daughter having these?
Okay.
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 What That's would it be like if we had a 16-year-old daughter?
Mm.
I'm infertile. I have no children. Same. Just my birds.
Same. I'm sterile.
But, you know, I might try to have a daughter a different way. Mm. So that I can say, now what's this like for you?
Would you ever consider your novels to be like your children?
In a way, yes. They're the product of my unions.
Of your labor.
Mm. My beautiful, yes. And I watch them grow.
Yeah. That's very beautiful.
And I watch everyone go, oh, yay. Mm. We love it so much.
This book won a spelling bee.
Like, I imagine if you have a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone cheers
goes,
in
oh,
town.
Oh, yay.
Oh, toss the baby.
Oh, yay. It's on a list.
Oh, Oprah it's loves on 10 this lists. Baby. This is Oprah's baby of the month.
What is the... And so I'm assuming the reception for your books has been, you've received...
Resounding.
Resounding, received great acclaim.
Yeah. Mm.
Has anyone, maybe, I don't know if Oprah has anyone tried to help you solve any of these murders? If the Milwaukee police aren't
so
doing
hard
it,
to
has anyone tried to use their
love.
Powerful position to help you... figure out who did this.
Launched a task force. I've been watching Big Little Lies. And the police in that town, I mean, they get some things right, they get some things wrong. Mm-hmm. But I wish some of the people in that show were helping try and figure out who killed all your husbands.
Yeah, unfortunately, no.
Ugh.
Everyone, Oprah, she says, it's too grisly. I don't want to be involved with this.
Right.
Oprah doesn't want to touch it.
What if we can't catch them?
Right.
And I go, oh no, don't even talk about that.
And none of them
that
have
seems
been
very the passionate.
I can't even think about if we don't catch them.
Oh, this line seems like it's just something that's rattling around in your head all day.
I can't even bear to think about it.
Oh, and there's one tear coming out of the corner of your eye.
Don't make me ponder a world in which we don't find out the monsters
okay.
who
Colin,
did
we're
this.
Pushing
okay,
her too
okay,
far.
Okay,
this is
okay,
an emotional
okay,
breakdown.
Okay. So sorry. We shouldn't have brought it up.
It's so, it must still be so raw.
It
must be
really
so raw. You are smiling quite a lot.
It's so raw. I can't stand
Oh, don't. Oh, I
don't
hate when our guests
me.
Cry. No, we won't push you anymore. We won't
Why
ask
Why did you bring me here
questions.
Just to talk to me about
no,
this?
We, no, we wanted to talk to you about your books. We're
I
sorry.
Didn't even
want
writing. To talk about
We're
this.
So, we just, shouldn't have brought it
we
up.
We don't even want to know how your husband, the other ones died. We're so sorry. Anything
Thank
we can
you.
Do.
Thank you. It was so awful when my fisherman husband, the hook went through his mouth and he was just lifted in the air.
Someone was fishing from above the ground.
Straight up?
And hung like a shark.
Oh.
Just from his tail.
Oh, no. Like in a prize photo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a
that
shame.
And then in the morning they found him and they said, oh God, who could have even gotten close enough?
What a sicko. What a sick freak.
Who would he have even let on his boat?
Oh, right, because who could have opened that tackle box where that specific hook was?
And I'm sure you had a good, you were probably reading another book and the bookmark would prove.
Right, and it's not like having been married to a locksmith, you'd have the ability to get into any door you could ever want to. Oh, your sister.
I'd been at my sister's. And they called her and she said, oh, yes.
Well, there you go.
She said.
You can't argue with that.
She said, yes.
Can't believe this. So
for sure.
So you've had to discover your nurse husband dead.
Yes.
Doctor husband dead. Locksmith husband dead.
Train conductor husband dead.
Fisherman husband dead.
Horse husband forcibly removed by neighbors.
Without the K. But then there was also the giant husband.
Yep.
Dead.
Unfortunately, he was just so. Giant heart failure.
Yeah, no, that one, that's good. That's tough for a lot of people. Just like the bodies. It's
that
just
one's the only
right.
one that they were able to solve with. And they were like, this is 100%.
We know who did it.
It was,
it was his nervous
cholesterol.
System.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. No
was,
one checks
in
out.
In that case, it was his own body.
Oh.
So does that just leave one more husband?
I think that's, yeah, there's the one left.
The chef.
Oh.
The Chef?
The Chef's Wife.
I remember reading that book. It was a fiction cookbook.
The Chef's Wife. You know, they work a hectic schedule.
Of course. Around a lot of knives.
Yes, but then he would come home and he would test new recipes on me.
Okay.
And this
could be fun.
Ironic. Devastatingly so. Poisoned.
No.
In our own home.
Oh.
What?
And he was the one cooking?
I thought I could be safe there.
Yeah.
If there was one place, I said, at least we can lock the doors. At least if you're home with me, I know nothing bad can happen.
And then...
poisoned in our own home.
That's so strange.
And somehow I wasn't.
You weren't
home
then.
Which was the cruelest trick of all.
To let you live.
Why? Why could not I have also been poisoned with my chef husband?
Yeah. Oh, no. And you can't... Again, you can't carry this around with you.
Thank God the manuscript had already gone to my editor because I was too distraught. I couldn't have possibly finished it.
Oh, God.
In the state I was
in. Oh, I couldn't have met trying to write at a time like
that. I could not possibly. I had to take a year off.
Oh, a whole year.
A whole year.
I'm sorry. I'm just hearing all of these now, all eight of these. And Diana, I have something to ask
you.
Yes. Your husband's.
Yes.
Did you, and please be honest with us.
Yes.
Please.
Or always.
And our audience.
To be a writer, you must be honest.
Of course. Thank you.
The deaths of your husbands, did you do them honor in the books you wrote about them and their lives?
You know, I think the fact that they got on lists, I think that is better than a gravestone.
It's better than living.
Did you get them gravestones?
You know, little ones. I said they're getting the books.
I mean,
what
honestly,
more do they
if you've got
need?
A fish's hook picking you
They've
up in
the
air,
did you use the books once they were published as the gravestones for your husband's?
There's a little,
That's cute.
Here he lies, star of, you know.
Right.
Which you can find in bookstores now.
That's
a little plug.
Yeah.
You know what's here's an idea. Maybe on top of the gravestone you press a little button and it starts reading you the audiobook.
Oh yeah.
That could be cool.
If you just a little Kindle.
Who'd you dedicate these books to?
Sue.
Oh yeah.
Your good friend
Sue.
You've got to.
You know, she's just helped me. She says, you know, you have to keep writing these books.
And that's a good friend.
It's a really good friend.
Well, at least if your husband's couldn't live, at least their legacy is able to live on through your work.
Yes.
Absolutely. And if it doesn't work out with the person who you are seeing right now, who you're going on dates with, I would say reach out to Colin. I know you've got his contact information from coming on the podcast.
The Virgin Simpleton sounds like could be a good book.
I mean, I don't know if this hat maker will work out.
Yeah, the haberdasher's wife. I don't know. That's kind of boring to me a little bit. And I think that the Simpleton Virgin could be a little interesting. And I do think that while all of your husbands, except for the horse, have died in grisly, mysterious, unsolved deaths, something tells me that Colin, my good, dear friend and collaborator, could be the one where this union could really work.
I need a love that's not going to leave me.
Oh, and Colin.
I'm going to stick around.
Yeah. We don't call him
I'm not going
rock.
Anywhere.
We don't call him Stumpy for nothing.
I've been burned, but I just hope that the next one
you've had
is
tough.
Forever.
Mm. Hey, we hope that for you.
I'm going to be
Thank
there
you so much.
Through thick and thin. I'm going to be there for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's
Thank
a little
you.
Presumptuous, Colin. She hasn't even reached out yet, but
we'll
I like
see what happens with, see. With
oh,
the
sure,
milliner.
Sure, sure,
we'll
sure.
See.
Yeah.
As long as that doesn't affect Colin and my working relationship, that should be fine. And don't go in the den.
Please don't go in the den.
I won't.
and lastly, before we go here, we just want to see if you have any advice to young aspiring writers who might be listening. Mm.
You know, just live a life worth writing about at any cost. At any cost, just do it.
No matter who suffers?
Your writing is the most important thing.
Wow.
Amazing. So take that to heart, listeners.
And don't go in the den.
Don't go in the den.
Don't go in the den.
Live a life worth writing about and don't go in the den.
Yeah.
And you're welcome for us pulling the strings and letting you bring all the guns in here into the studio past the metal detectors. I don't know why you needed to do that, but we made it happen.
Yeah, it just makes me feel safe.
For sure.
And that's the end of that chapter.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.